honorable members. Madam Speaker, as Minister of Social Transformation, I can stand here and emulate the trend of ministers of social transformation before me. Madam Speaker, in presenting you with a speech with glowing terms, extravagant on jargon, and embellished by mere rhetoric, I would say to you, Madam Speaker, how this nation is precariously perched on the edge of a precipice, and that what we need to do at this juncture of our nation's development is to make a paradigm shift, as the way forward is to take hands, to hold the hands of stakeholders and make a giant step forward. I am certain, Madam Speaker, that all of you have heard some speech somewhere by some politician sounding very much alike what I just said. And so it would be reasonable of you, Madam Speaker, to expect a delivery of similar style and content, but that will not come from me, Madam Speaker. What brought me here, Madam Speaker, is not groupthink. It's not bluff, nor was it sterile rhetoric. And so, Madam Speaker, I have no desire to have you endure a presentation laced with abused jargon, nor worn-out cliches yielding absolutely no benefit to the people of Saint Lucia. Instead, Madam Speaker, I ask that we think logically, plan strategically, implement purposefully, and let us all reap the benefits of this budget collectively. So therefore, Madam Speaker, common sense would tell us that if our country is indeed pushed on the edge of a precipice, what we should be doing is not taking a step forward. For fear, Madam Speaker, we'll end up at the bottom of that precipice. What we will do, Madam Speaker, at this juncture, is to take a step back. A step back to reflect. A step back to assess. A step that will allow us to evaluate our current situation and plan. Plan so that we can move in a new direction, Madam Speaker. A direction that will take us to the point where we want to go, a point of progress. Madam Speaker, as we change course, we can then forge ahead in an all-encompassing drive for progress and development for this country. This is where, Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Social Transformation comes in. This is a newly reconfigured ministry, Madam Speaker, designed to function as the primary institution for national social development. Our ultimate goal is to improve the quality of life of all Saint Lucians. I stand here as part of the government of Saint Lucia. I say so, Madam Speaker, because prior to now, I made it my duty to listen to budget debates and House of Assembly presentations from politicians. And all I hear is the Labour Party government or the United Workers Party government or my government. I am part of the government of St. Lucia, our government. And so, Madam Speaker, I repeat, our ultimate goal is to improve the quality of life of all St. Lucians. This we will achieve through particular emphasis and focus on the poor, the marginalized, and the most vulnerable among us. This government is committed to the fight to eradicate poverty, through poverty reduction strategies, and providing protection for the vulnerable by developing safety nets. The government of St. Lucia, through the Ministry of Social Transformation, is committed to having every citizen achieve their full potential. To this end, we have spent the last 3 to 4 months of my ministry engaged in visioning, planning, consulting, and rationalizing the roles and function of this newly reconstructed ministry in achieving this noble goal. The Ministry of Social Transformation is therefore pivotal to government's overall quest in promoting national human development. A number of areas, Madam Speaker, to provide a framework and set of instruments to address current and emerging social issues have been identified. And so the Departments of Community Services, Human Services, Family Affairs, Gender Relations, Youth and Sports, all of which fall under my portfolio, Madam Speaker, will be working collaboratively in addressing the social challenges we face as a country. We also call on volunteers and other institutions like the churches and community-based organizations to come forward and be partners in the process of transforming this country. While issuing this appeal, Madam Speaker, I must commend those who complement the work of the public sector in the delivery of its mandate for national social development. Let me take this opportunity to say thanks to the many volunteers who have had a great impact on the social and economic well-being of our society in a very significant way. I must also single out the many faith-based organizations, the churches, Madam Speaker, and other community-based institutions who continue to play a significant role in the delivery of services to vulnerable groups throughout this country. I want, through you, Madam Speaker, to say to them that the effort and commitment has not escaped me. And I urge that they continue their invaluable contribution to our nation's development. Madam Speaker, I am reminded as I speak of the poor, the marginalized, and the vulnerable. I am reminded of the recently concluded election campaign, during which time, Madam Speaker, I had the opportunity to speak to a constituent who taught me a vital lesson. But in the course of that conversation, Madam Speaker, I was told by that constituent that you politicians always speak of the stakeholders. What about us? That statement baffled me, Madam Speaker, as I wondered what exactly she meant. I asked the question, "Aren't you a stakeholder?" And she said, "Definitely not, because all the planning, all the programs, all the projects doesn't seem to be geared towards my development, my progress, or my poverty alleviation. And so I'm not a stakeholder. I cannot afford steak," she said, Madam Speaker. "All I can afford is chicken back. So I am a chicken back holder." Madam Speaker, I want to say to this Honorable House and to this woman that today in this Honorable House, the chicken back holder has a voice. I come to poverty, Madam Speaker, one of the main focuses of my ministry, poverty. Poverty, Madam Speaker, is perhaps the most critical issue facing St. Lucia at this time. From the perspective of the Ministry of Social Transformation, poverty is defined as a situation where individuals, households, and communities do not have a combination of several of the following. 1, access to basic social services such as water, sanitation, health, and education. 2, natural, financial, and physical assets. Physical assets, for example, land. Financial assets, for example, the savings, Madam Speaker. Tools and equipment and other means of production. Mr. Speaker, another area that poor people are deprived of is security and safety. And that includes protection from economic shocks caused by loss of jobs, caused by becoming a widow, by the loss of of a partner, violence, natural disasters, and human forces. Mr. Speaker, poor people are denuded very often of their dignity, respect, self-esteem, and cultural identity. They have no autonomy, no capacity of choice and opportunity to participate in the developmental process. My ministry is determined to make this a thing of the past. Mr. Speaker, understand me, this will not be achieved in the space of a year. It will be done incrementally. It is a process that has begun, that will continue until we achieve the noble goal of alleviating or totally eradicating poverty in this country. The 2005 Country Poverty Assessment in St. Lucia revealed, as the Prime Minister in his address alluded to, some shocking revelations. And I'm not concerned here, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, with credits. Throughout this debate, I heard statistics, facts and accusations being leveled left, right, and center, back and forth. People seeking to get badges, accolades, and praise. That is not my role or function. I am merely stating the facts as I have discovered them, facts that will guide in the planning and execution of our program by the Ministry of Social Transformation. Mr. Speaker, what did I discover after perusing the report on country quality assessment for St. Lucia? One, there has been a general increase in poverty from 25.1% in 1995 to 28.8% in 2005, an increase, Mr. Speaker, of 3.7%. Mr. Speaker, we are heading in the wrong direction. What we want is alleviation of poverty, not increased poverty. And note, Mr. Speaker, again, I am not interested in who caused what. My interest here is to stem the tide, resolve the situation, remedy the problem, and bring relief to our poor people. Because while we bicker and argue in this Honorable House, Mr. Speaker, while we try to claim strikes and accolades, while we bicker and argue over who gets what credit, there are people out there suffering, and all they are interested in is an alleviation of their suffering and an eradication of their poverty. That is my focus. Another thing I discovered, Mr. Speaker, is that a large number of citizens remain highly vulnerable to becoming poor despite their subsistence above the poverty line. And the report used 33% above the poverty line as the criterion of vulnerability. And it also says that 46.6% of our population was deemed to be vulnerable. Now let's examine this a little, Mr. Speaker, because the people to whom I am directing my address have to understand what I'm saying. Mr. Speaker, when we say that a person is vulnerable, that person may have a job, that person may be earning an income just above the poverty line, that person may be existing. But Mr. Speaker, the slightest disruption in that person's circumstances will cause that person to become a pauper and go below the poverty line. Mr. Speaker, we cannot have our people living on the brink of poverty with the anxiety that accompanies such a situation. Mr. Speaker, that in itself is a problem because it militates against healthy, qualitative living because of the amount of stress and anxiety that you constantly face. And so, Mr. Speaker, we have to address the situation. Because those 46.6% of our population living just above the poverty line, those vulnerable people, Mr. Speaker, by one member of the household losing a job, they become poor or they go below the poverty line. by the loss of a member of the family, especially if it is the breadwinning member of the family, they go below the poverty line. Mr. Speaker, by simply being struck or being afflicted with some health condition, they can go below the poverty line, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we have to address that problem. Almost half of our population in this country are vulnerable to becoming poor. Mr. Speaker, what does this say? It says that in our planning, we have to begin to execute programs, provide skills training, and job opportunities, significant job opportunities, Mr. Speaker, that will provide a salary, a decent salary, for those people, as alluded to by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, a salary that will allow them a good living. Mr. Speaker, working for $20 a day simply does not cut it. For a family, for a mother, for instance, a single parent who has children to send to school, utility bills to pay, and other life demands to meet, our ministry will ensure that we work hand in hand with the Ministry of Agriculture, with the Ministry of Health, with the Ministry of Education, Housing, and all other departments, Mr. Speaker, to ensure that we put in place a comprehensive, collaborative effort that will put the framework, the necessary foundation in place to give those people some protection and to lift them out of vulnerability and out of sight of poverty. The next revelation, Mr. Speaker, of that report that I read is that individual biological and social factors, including age, illness, disability, or loss of support, which I've already alluded to, for example, widowhood and migration, are among the chief causes of poverty in this country. So what does that mean, Mr. Speaker? It means, Mr. Speaker, that we have to create jobs for our young people, Mr. Speaker, so that they will not find and be compelled to migrate out of this country and leaving their significant others behind, very often forgetting them when they leave. Widowhood is a situation that we cannot necessarily avoid. It may not be within our control. But let us ensure that our people are sufficiently empowered so that if a mother or a father loses their significant other, by themselves, they can earn sufficient to keep the household running above poverty. Illness, and I specifically mentioned the various portfolios that will have to play a significant role in that effort. Illness, Mr. Speaker, and I will deal with this as I go on to my youth and sports program. Illness is another significant factor that creates a situation that drives some families into poverty. Very often, Mr. Speaker, you have the breadwinner in a family being struck down by some debilitating illness, and immediately that the circumstances of that family changes. Poverty levels have increased in the past few years, Mr. Speaker, as a direct result of economic difficulties and resulting from increases in unemployment levels. So obviously, job creation is a must. But Mr. Speaker, creating jobs, that is one thing. But what kinds of jobs? The kind of job that we want to create is not menial work to fetch minimum wage, but significant work that will contribute to the development of this country, bring self-esteem and self-respect to the employer, and at the same time, providing those individuals with the means to take care of themselves and their families and to live a comfortable life above the poverty line in this country. Mr. Speaker, children are particularly affected by poverty because of the direct impact on their health, their education, and their personal development. And so we have to take cognizance of that fact because poverty will be perpetuated, Mr. Speaker, if we do nothing. If we do nothing to address the existing poverty and we allow it to affect the upcoming generation because of their their circumstances, being born into a poor family, they too are doomed to poverty because their health would be compromised, their education would be non-existent, and their personal development in itself would be stunned. Now, Mr. Speaker, young persons in this country, especially young men, are among the poorest in our society. And if this startles you, Mr. Speaker, I too was stunned by that revelation. They are directly affected by unemployment, social marginalization, and criminalization. Mr. Speaker, the last part I'm sure is no surprise, no shock to you. Because as our crime in this country, crime and violence escalate, as the reports come in very often, who are the culprits? Our young men in this country. People want to deny it very often, but it is a fact that there is a correlation between unemployment and crime. And so we have to engage those young people. We have to put them to work. Utilize their energies gainfully and meaningfully to ensure that we don't only save them, but we save ourselves and our society. Because the crimes that they perpetrate, Mr. Speaker, may very well be against us. So when I talk of those poor people, Mr. Speaker, there are many among us here who do not fall in that category. And you may switch off because it does not concern you. It concerns you directly. Because you live in a society, and as much as you try to isolate yourself, Mr. Speaker, with your burglar bars and gates and what have you, the criminals will find a way to reach you. We do not want a situation where we have a society of young people growing up with a vengeance against the haves, because they feel left out of the process, because they feel cheated, because they feel deprived. Equity is what we want to create. And I'm a realist, Mr. Speaker. I'm fully aware that despite our best efforts, we will never fully attain a total equilibrium in the distribution of wealth in our country. However, we have to narrow the gap. Because the wider the gap, the greater our problems. Mr. Speaker, the number of older people living in poverty has grown significantly in recent years. That has to be another concern of ours. These are people, Mr. Speaker, who created the foundation on which we are building currently. They have made their contribution, Mr. Speaker. These people have made their contribution to the development of this country and to our own development, Mr. Speaker. And so, we cannot disregard, ignore, or forget those people as they go through their hardship in the older years. Mr. Speaker, we have to put in place the safety net, the welfare programs, the necessary instruments that will take care of those people who cannot help themselves. A civilized society, Mr. Speaker, must have regard for the less fortunate and those who are unable to fend for themselves. The study on living conditions in this country which made the above revelations was conducted during the latter half of 2005 and the first quarter of last year. So this is the recent statistics that I'm quoting. And I'm not in the business either of quoting statistics to dazzle people, Mr. Speaker. The statistics I'm quoting here, making those revelations, Mr. Speaker, is intended to bring to light the reality that we face. The statistics that I'm quoting here, Mr. Speaker, will form the basis of the planning and the policy development of the ministry which I represent. Mr. Speaker, I have always been baffled about the dearth of statistics available by government departments. It makes me wonder, Mr. Speaker, how we proceed with planning and policy making when we do not have the relevant necessary base information. You have to base your policies on the situation that exists, and information gathering and data collection is what will provide you with that information. And so, Mr. Speaker, as part of the newly reconfigured Ministry of Social Transformation, we have decided to add a research unit. This research unit will provide for us on an ongoing basis the relevant information as to the actual situation, evaluation of the programs that we implement, because the Minister of Finance has warned me, Mr. Speaker, a warning that I have totally accepted, that monies will not be allocated to my ministry to dash away, to waste, Mr. Speaker. He expects results. Now, I must be in a position to provide those results, tangible results, Mr. Speaker, and that is where my research unit comes in. My research unit, hopefully, within the course of the next 5 years, will be making revelations such as a reduction in the poverty rate in St. Lucia, such as a reduction in the crime rate in St. Lucia, a reduction in criminality in St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, a number of positive, oh, can you make a positive reduction? I'm not sure. A number of positives will accrue in the last next 5 years, Mr. Speaker, so that we can create the kind of society that we want to live in and leave for our children. So this poverty assessment study serves as the basis for policy formulation for my entire ministry, Mr. Speaker, whether it be youth and sports, community development, what have you. You will understand why our main focus will be on protecting the poor, empowering the marginalized, and minimizing the risk for the vulnerable. Mr. Speaker, our focus is such because our situation is such. And so, Mr. Speaker, the various departments of my ministry will all be working towards one goal, in their own way, with their various programs, synthesizing some of the programs, working collaboratively in synergy to ensure that we tackle the problem head on. And I want to take this opportunity to invite all St. Lucians in that effort, whether government, member, or opposition. The member for Castries South, as I listened to his presentation earlier, spoke a lot about forgetting about partisan politics. As an opportunity for members of this House to put aside partisan politics and put your hand and your shoulder to the wheel and make a contribution in nation development. Because our situation may be such that we are not facing poverty today, but, God forbid, a single incident may change our circumstances. Human Services and Family Affairs, Mr. Speaker, this is a division in my ministry. And the Division of Human Services and Family Affairs is governed by an extensive mandate for the welfare of all vulnerable groups, notably children, older persons, and families that are at risk. In the coming years, Mr. Speaker, the Division will undertake a number of initiatives which will have far-reaching implications for the welfare and social development of our society. Among these will be the completion of two quality instruments for older people and people with disabilities, respectively. Mr. Speaker, we must not forget our people with disabilities. We are a society who tend to hide our disabled. We tend to cast them aside. But I'm making an appeal now, as we embark on this process of transformation, that we change our attitudes to the disabled, that we provide, we cater for our disabled and treat them as relevant members of our society who can, in their own way, contribute to the development of our society. A study of homes for the elderly in St. Lucia will be done, and an operational manual will be developed for the institutional care of the elderly. Mr. Speaker, this will provide a look at the training and human resource development needs of caregivers. The result will be a regulatory framework for residential care for the elderly. In the meantime, Mr. Speaker, we will continue to provide the usual services to our senior citizens, to our senior citizens' home, and the public assistance and welfare program. Now, I have to say something about the public assistance program, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when I talk of the public assistance program, we are talking of what St. Lucians refer to in everyday parlance as welfare. Wow. Mr. Speaker, there are people, especially older folk, who are unable to work, who have no one to care for them, who have to nonetheless survive. These people have to eat and drink. These people have utility bills to pay, but these people have no means of generating revenue. These people have no source of income. And so, Mr. Speaker, the state has to provide for these people. But let us take a quick examination of their circumstances, Mr. Speaker, as it exists today. In this budget, Mr. Speaker, there is an allocation of $671,878 that is provided for the senior citizen home, that is for its operation and maintenance. And this represents an increase over last year's allocation, understandably so. In the case of payment of public assistance, Mr. Speaker, a total review of this program will be undertaken. A total review has to be undertaken, Mr. Speaker, with a view to regularizing any existing discrepancies. Because, Mr. Speaker, I do not want to preempt that review, but it is my strong suspicion and understand, Mr. Speaker, that I live and operate within this society. I have a fair idea, if not a very good idea, of what obtains in this society. I have strong suspicion, Mr. Speaker, that there are discrepancies with regard to that list that represents the list of poor people on welfare institution. Mr. Speaker, we have some 2,600 persons on that list. And I have the question, are we certain that all of those persons are deserving of being on that list? What is the criteria for some of those persons being on that list? Here again, I send a message to politicians, Mr. Speaker. Do not use this program, at least not under my watch will it be allowed to happen. Do not use this program for political purposes. Do not put persons on this list because they are a supporter of yours that you want to give a handout. If you wish to give handouts, hand it out of your pocket. So we will review that list, Mr. Speaker, to ensure that the people on that list are people deserving of being on that list. And at the same time, Mr. Speaker, we are going to ensure that those who are deserving of being on that list are actually on that list. Because I know of cases in my constituency, Mr. Speaker, of persons who are deserving of being on that list and they are not on that list. However, the warning that I have issued goes for me as well. And so, Mr. Speaker, as Minister, I cannot always separate myself from my political role and pretend that I'm not a politician when operating as a minister. I'm mindful of that fact. And so I will have nothing to do with the process. We will set up an independent committee, Mr. Speaker, comprising of members of the churches, community-based organizations, charitable organizations, and other prominent citizens who are above reproach. And I will allow the opposition to nominate people on that committee as well to ensure that the process is above board. And so that committee will be independent of any political influence and perform their task according to merit. You will be consulted, don't worry. Currently, Mr. Speaker, public assistance, and I'm ashamed to say it, public assistance is set at $85 per individual per month. Now, I well understand the limited resources of our country. I well understand the burden that paying out those welfare sums places on the consolidated funds, but I say, rather I ask the question, how many of us here can survive on $85 a month? No. Now, what do we do? Do I simply lament the situation or do I do something about it? Here is what we are going to do about the situation, Mr. Speaker. I will continue to agitate for a rise in the allowance for persons on welfare. However, mindful of the limited resources of our country, I will do so incrementally. And so, Mr. Speaker, here comes the first proposal. There is a proposal for an increase to $130 per individual per month. Now, this is not a figure that I just arbitrarily plucked out of the air, Madam Speaker. This submission is based on the findings of the 2005-2006 Country Poverty Assessment, in which it was stated that the indigent line is set at $130 a month. Now, what do I mean by that? A person who is indigent is a person who can barely afford to eat and drink, nothing else. Or a person to survive on merely eating and drinking. Madam Speaker, we have not even considered utilities. Now, let us not forget, older people too use water. They use electricity and what have you. That has not been factored in or taken into consideration. We are going at the minimum, the base, $130 to ensure that they can eat and drink. Madam Speaker, as the Minister of Communications and Works review his water policy, I will be making representation on behalf of the people on welfare to ask that the water authority or the whatever WASCO consider a waiver of the water bill for those people, or at least a reduction or special rate for those people. Madam Speaker, I do not want to stand here and formulate policy on my feet, but I'm merely sounding my intention, and as we meet around the table, we will further discuss the mechanisms that will be employed and whatever structure that will be put in place to ensure that those people get some relief. Madam Speaker, something has to be done. I think it is a reflection on us. And so, Madam Speaker, during the course of this year, as this review is conducted, we will come to a firm decision. And I want to say to you, Madam Speaker, that we will be expediting the process because these people cannot wait forever in their circumstances. We will expedite the process and ensure that we put things in place during the course of this year, so that when I stand here at the next budget debate, Madam Speaker, I will be proudly making an announcement of an improvement in the situation of the people on welfare in this country. Social transformation, Madam Speaker, that is what we are about. And it is not only about transforming our own personal situation, but transforming our society as a whole. To make that transformation, Madam Speaker, our attitude has to come from transformation. Even in the House, in this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, we have to begin to set examples as leaders. The manner in which we interact in this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, sometimes leaves much to be desired. The attitude displayed, the misbehavior demonstrated, is no example to young people, Madam Speaker. And so when I watch, in previous times when I watched House debates, Madam Speaker, I had to constantly be explaining to my 12-year-old son that this is not normal behavior, that this is not acceptable behavior, this is not the way it ought to be done. What they were displaying is what ought not to be done. And so we can begin in this Honorable House with social transformation of this country by setting a good example. And as I love to say, Madam Speaker, we stand and pontificate and preach very often, but may I remind members that the best sermon is a good example. Yeah. Madam Speaker, the current total public assistance is set the allowance for this is $3.2 million a year. With the proposed increase, and I'm hoping that we can go beyond that, it will become $4.81 million a year, an increase of $1.5 million. And if we are vigilant in ensuring that we contain some of the cost overruns that this country has experienced in the last few years, perhaps we can get a million here or there to make allocations for our people and welfare. The senior citizens' home in Sucre will also receive some additional attention, Madam Speaker, and efforts are underway to relocate the facility to a new site. Madam Speaker, this Honorable House will be further enlightened as we proceed, as we progress on this matter. Currently, the home now houses 50 senior citizens and a few people with disabilities. When established, Madam Speaker, the new facility will cater for the needs of our elderly and disabled, with all the modern amenities services expected to be provided in such a facility. I quickly move on to family and child services, Madam Speaker. As I've said earlier in my presentation, our children are at risk and many of our families are vulnerable. In the course of the next year, 70 foster carers and adoptive parents will be recruited by my ministry. They will play a pivotal role in the mentoring and molding of our next generation of children who would otherwise most likely go astray, get lost, and become menaces to society. Further support to the welfare of our children and families will be provided through the following means, Madam Speaker. One, by placement for 60 children in foster care. And a lot of these programs, Madam Speaker, will be implemented with the help of volunteers. We are not a rich country, but we are an industrial, resourceful, and caring people. And we can do things, Madam Speaker, in the absence of financial resources to help ourselves. And that will be one of the main themes of my ministry in the coming 5 years, Madam Speaker. We will provide training programs for foster carers, because it is one thing to remove the children from their unfortunate circumstances and put them in a new environment, but we have to ensure that this new environment provides for them a better environment. So we are going to train our foster carers. We are going to improve the effectiveness in the delivery of service to children at risk by family case workers through in-service training. Now, I'm not one of those very fond of government bureaucracy, Madam Speaker. I made some promises on the campaign trail, promises that I intend to fulfill, and I've given myself a time frame of 5 years. I have no further guarantees, Madam Speaker. So what has to be done will be done if it means breathing down people's necks. The acquisition of a property to be used as a transit home for children at risk is being considered actively now, Madam Speaker. I do not want to go into too much detail because I am one who likes to have hard and fast facts that are reliable and do not keep changing. So as soon as all of this is in place, as soon as I have all the information and facts, as soon as all the transactions and negotiations are completed, this Honorable House will be informed. In this budget, Madam Speaker, some $835,734 has been allocated in the budget for the acquisition of that transit home. So this is not mere talk, Madam Speaker. We are actively pursuing that goal. We will provide enhanced delivery of centralized services and programs. And we will, you know, Madam Speaker, social workers get a bad rap sometimes, but we have to understand that social workers deal with stressful situations. They deal with problems on a daily basis, Madam Speaker. And I sense that there is a level of burnout on the part of my staff that we are going to address, Madam Speaker, to ensure that the staff are in a state of mind and a state of readiness to execute their duties with the greatest level of enthusiasm and commitment. And so, Madam Speaker, create a situation of greater staff and client satisfaction. Gender relations, Madam Speaker. The Division of Gender Relations will in the coming year bolster the delivery of its services, especially to women. and that will be done via the establishment of a shelter for victims of abuse. Madam Speaker, it is no secret that in this country, in our society, women are predominantly the victims of domestic violence and other forms of abuse. Women beating guys as well? Well, we talk about equity, maybe that is part of the process. Government has budgeted $93,895 for securing a building, Madam Speaker. A building that will be used as a women's support center. The overall project is expected to cost some $1.8 million, Madam Speaker. But we have taken the first step, and that is the purchase of that building. And we will refurbish that building, provide the building with the necessary equipment and what have you that is required for its proper functioning, and as soon as is possible, make it available to women who undergo abuse in our society, provide them with an option, provide them with an avenue to escape their unfortunate situation. In the efforts of fighting poverty, women face many challenges, Madam Speaker. They have to contend with, in many cases, being single parents, as the men abandon their duties and leave the burden on our women. And in the quest to find employment to take care of those children that they are left to fend for, they endure sexual harassment and in other inequities on the job, Madam Speaker. The country poverty assessment reports that women face greater hardship in the coping with poverty as compared to men. The survey indicates higher unemployment among women, Madam Speaker, and that some women resort to prostitution as a means of gaining an income. Madam Speaker, we want to provide our women with better alternatives. We want to give them a choice so that they do not have to resort to selling their bodies as a means of economic activities to feed their children. Madam Speaker, that is not only degrading our women, but think of what it does to the children of that woman who have to endure the thought and knowledge of the fact that that is what their mother engaged in as a profession. Mr. Speaker, that is from the onset destroying the self-esteem, self-respect, and ego of any child. That is a situation that has to be remedied. That is a situation that has to be addressed. And through the division of gender relations, we will do everything to ensure that we address that situation. For while succumbing to sexual advances as a source of income, Madam Speaker, many women do not protect themselves because they could not afford the protection of contraception. This further compounds the problem, Madam Speaker. As you would well appreciate, this exposes those women to pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases. To minimize the level of vulnerability among our women, the Division of Gender Relations will have to work collaboratively with other divisions and sectors in designing effective programs that will protect and empower our women.
Honorable Minister, you have 10 more minutes to permit to complete your presentation.
Madam Speaker, I beg to move the suspension of Standing Orders 3210 to allow the Minister an additional 30 minutes to complete his presentation. 30 minutes.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Orders 3210 be suspended to allow the Minister for Social Transformation an additional 30 minutes within which to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as are for opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Madam Speaker, I want to look at some of the agencies assigned to my ministry, agencies that will help in the fight to alleviate poverty and providing opportunities for the vulnerable. There are a number of agencies, Madam Speaker, which fall under my purview. And those agencies were created, like I said, to assist in poverty reduction and to provide basic social infrastructure to ensure sustenance of livelihood through employment opportunities and provision of skilled training. Those agencies include, Madam Speaker, the Poverty Reduction Fund, the Basic Needs Trust Fund, and the National Conservation Authority. We are in the process, Madam Speaker, of merging the Poverty Reduction Fund and the Basic Needs Trust Fund with a view to rationalizing costs. The two agencies, Madam Speaker, serve pretty much the same clientele. And they perform very much similar functions. This means, Madam Speaker, that savings can be realized from merging the two entities, minimizing administrative and operational costs. That is mere common sense, Madam Speaker. For after the merger of the Poverty Reduction Fund and the BNPF, Madam Speaker, it is proposed that the new entity be called the St. Lucia Social Development Fund. That is not final, Madam Speaker, but that is a proposal. And, well, the Bell Fund, Madam Speaker, is also under my portfolio. But that is an entity that will be dissolved, Madam Speaker, and its functions absorbed by the setting up of a new development bank for St. Lucia. We will further combine the functions of the two, we will fulfill the combined functions of the two agencies, Madam Speaker, by the amalgamation, or rather the merger of the two entities. Central to the work of the new body will remain poverty reduction through socio-economic initiatives. This is an exercise in fiscal prudence, Madam Speaker. This will not in any way affect the work of the two agencies, and the target group of those agencies will not in any way suffer any consequences. Rather, I think the work of that merged institution will be bolstered by the merger, and of course I will make a strong recommendation to the Minister of Finance that whatever savings that will accrue be put back into the programs of that organization, that agency, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the NCA. The NCA of the past, Madam Speaker, represented and embodied the characteristic nepotism and corruption of the past administration. That is as much as I'm prepared to say at this point. It is now my task to strip this agency of its tattered and shameful garments, Madam Speaker. And I will have to do so by speedily re-engendering public confidence in this tainted entity and to ensure that we bring back some dignity and respect to that agency. That is necessary, Madam Speaker, in the agency fulfilling its role and function. Because if the people they are intended to serve do not have confidence and respect for the agency, that in itself will hamper the work of the agency. Public confidence is necessary because from time to time we may call on the public for their cooperation and collaboration, as you know, and as one of the emphases of my ministry will be voluntarism. No one wants to be associated with anything that is tainted, Madam Speaker. And so we will have to satisfy as well, Madam Speaker, our reputable, irreproachable Minister of Finance, who, Madam Speaker, has quite clearly stated to me that every dollar allocated has to be accounted for, and that every grant received has to be well spent for the purpose for which it was intended. Madam Speaker, your humble servant will not entertain nor be party to any lapses or infidelities. The NCA is responsible, Madam Speaker, for environmental beautification, management and maintenance of beaches in St. Lucia. To date, the execution of these responsibilities have been limited to the provision of cleaning and waste disposal. And then, Madam Speaker, you have the SEP program that is administered by the NCA. Again, I don't have very much to say, because I am one who believes, Madam Speaker, that the underprivileged St. Lucians deserve better than to be reduced to dependency on politicians who play party politics with taxpayers' money, with little to show for it at the end of the day. Madam Speaker, the STEP program under my tenure will be abolished. And Madam Speaker, in its place, we will have more meaningful programs with true environmental value. Madam Speaker, let me just elaborate a little. The NCA will engage in projects like riverbank rehabilitation, Madam Speaker. As you might be aware, Madam Speaker, we have a situation where trees are cut along the riverbanks, exposing the soil on the riverbanks that are washed away during the rain into the river, Madam Speaker. And that soil erosion, that soil finds its way down to our coast, where it causes siltation on our reef, destroying our coral, doing further environmental degradation or destruction, Madam Speaker. And at the same time, with the cutting of those trees, Madam Speaker, we expose our rivers to a higher intensity of sunlight, causing a more rapid rate of evaporation of the water in the river. So, Madam Speaker, this is truly an environmental undertaking with value. Madam Speaker, there will be something to show for it at the end of the exercise. The people engaged in the program, Madam Speaker, I'm sure will be proud to see the impact that they have on their environment after doing such a program, Madam Speaker. These are the kinds of programs the NCA will begin to embark upon. That is one example of an environmental program that the NCA will engage in. Innovation. A nursery will be set up for procuring ornamental plants and flowers, Madam Speaker. But as you are aware, one of the mandates of the NCA is beautification, environmental beautification. And so the agency will engage in real environmental beautification, not merely cutting up grass, Madam Speaker. So when we beautify our parks, our public areas and so on, we will have a showpiece, Madam Speaker, that we can be proud of ourselves, and at the same time, we can market to the people we seek to attract as tourists in our country. Boys Training Center, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Boys Training Center is like a bastard child. No one is really enthusiastic, Madam Speaker, about embracing this juvenile institution. The institution which has recently been assigned to my ministry, Madam Speaker, is considered to be a headache by many, with more problems than anyone cares to handle. My view, Madam Speaker, on the contrary, is very different. I receive this institution as a new challenge that can be used to distinguish the Ministry of Social Transformation as a caring, people-oriented, and successful human development center. And so, Madam Speaker, with a conscientious approach, we will develop a comprehensive program for the boys at the center, and this will be predicated on the need for rehabilitation and training. There are a number of volunteers, Madam Speaker, who serve and stand ready to make even greater contributions to the center. Madam Speaker, we will tap that resource and work collaboratively with the volunteers who will augment the strength and strengthen the service we deliver to the wards at the Boys Training Center. On the capital expenditure, Madam Speaker, funds were allocated for the relocation of the center, and a new site will be decided on very soon for the construction of a new center. Some $500,000 from EU funds has been earmarked for that purpose, Madam Speaker. In the interim, efforts will be made to improve the existing conditions at the center, because we at the moment have boys housed at that center. we will provide some $10,000 for the erection and construction of a security hut at the center, and that is for the security of the boys. $161,000 allocated for the purchase of vehicles for the center so that they can perform the functions that is expected of them. And the boys from the center will also benefit from the many youth programs my ministry will embark upon in the course of this financial year. Madam Speaker, youth. Of course, I have already touched on many areas that touch and concern youth, but I want to look more specifically at youth. When I read the various social reports and listen to public comments, Madam Speaker, I get the view that our youth are facing a crisis of great enormity. If you were to take the report seriously, Madam Speaker, there is need for alarm. Data from the executive summary of the country poverty assessment reveals, and I quote, persons living below the poverty line are disproportionately young, and in comparison to the proportion of youth in the general population. Unquote. We know that we have a predominantly young population, Madam Speaker, with over 40% of our population being under the age of 20. Our young people face more and more challenges, some of which directly threaten the very future of those children, Madam Speaker. Concerns in the social development include violence and conflict, a high crime rate, adolescent pregnancy, the proliferation of unhealthy lifestyles, example, Madam Speaker, substance abuse, inappropriate eating habits, risky sexual behavior, and other antisocial behaviors. This means, Madam Speaker, that we have to bring to sharper focus the remedial and capacity building programs that would lead to transforming our society from the direction in which we are headed. Some $1.1 million in this budget will be used to fund programs like strengthening of youth organizations, and under this program, the much talked about drive to reorganize clubs and other uniform organizations will be funded, Madam Speaker. A youth recognition and community service program will also be funded in this program, and a number of communities will be specifically targeted for implementation of this initiative. Another is the promotion of the all-important promotion of quality lifestyle program. If we look at the recurrent expenditure of my ministry, we will realize that we have made allowances for these programs as well, Madam Speaker. I will not list the many programs that my staff along with community volunteers will embark upon in the coming year, but I assure you, Madam Speaker, we will embark upon many innovative and exciting programs for our youth development. But, Madam Speaker, it is no secret that I have an acute passion for sports. Madam Speaker, since assuming the office of sports minister, there has been high expectations, particularly among our youth. The expectation is that I will lead the charge to transform and develop sports in Saint Lucia. That is a responsibility and a challenge that I am prepared to undertake, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, that is because I have great appreciation for the value of sports. Madam Speaker, most sports contribute to character building, Madam Speaker. And when I talk of character building, Madam Speaker, some of the characteristics that some of us could do well to develop, characteristics such as fair play, characteristics such as competitiveness, learning to be competitive at the same time, Madam Speaker, being able to accept the defeat as well as being gracious in victory. Sports can be a great unifier, Madam Speaker, and I even believe, Madam Speaker, frankly, that sports can even go as far as unifying the opposition and the government. Madam Speaker, and at this juncture, I'll probably propose a cricket match between the opposition and the government at some time in the near future. A gesture to show conclusions, Madam Speaker, by way of leadership, that we can have differences but still coexist, and we will use sports to make that statement. It is a socializing instrument. It is a socializing, you see. You probably should have played more sports in your youth. Then you know you understand that when a serious point is being made, you shouldn't ridicule the member of the country.
Please address chair.
Yes, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, teamwork is another thing that sports teaches you. Teamwork. And I'm inviting the opposition, Madam Speaker, through you, to team up with us and show a good example. But I do not know if the minister, if the member for Castries East will accept that offer, Madam Speaker. Is capable of accepting that offer. Madam Speaker, sports serves as a profession and a source of income, Madam Speaker. And when I say so, I do not solely refer to becoming a professional athlete. Madam Speaker, there are many other career paths related to sports. Madam Speaker, yours truly is an example of a person who has, through sports, embarked upon a career, Madam Speaker. In my case, it is sports medicine, but there is sports psychology, there is sports administration. There are many, many careers related to sports that our young people can pursue, Madam Speaker. And if we develop professionals in sports, Madam Speaker, there will be a consequential improvement in the level and standard of our sports in St. Lucia. A means to many ends, Madam Speaker, sports. Sports, Madam Speaker, as you would well be aware, provides for many poor people in St. Lucia an opportunity to gain scholarships. Madam Speaker, my Department of Sports will very soon embark upon a program to ascertain how many St. Lucians we have on sports scholarships overseas and to ensure that we provide them with whatever additional support they require to see to it that they return to St. Lucia to make a contribution, not just for the development of sports, but for the development of our country as a whole. Madam Speaker, we will put programs in place to ensure that when we have our national championships, scouts from overseas will be brought to witness those championships so as to recruit the more talented among our youth, either for university scholarships or to become professional athletes, Madam Speaker. That will be something we will actively pursue, opening up avenues for our sports people. Sport is a way, a form of health promotion, Madam Speaker. Health and well-being can be promoted through sports, Madam Speaker. I will elaborate on this a little. And it is a useful tool in social transformation. And so, Madam Speaker, you may wonder why this portfolio, the Department of Sports was brought under that portfolio. Madam Speaker, every one of those divisions and departments will play their role in transforming this society of ours and ensuring that we have a St. Lucia in the near future that we all feel safe in and are proud of. Madam Speaker, my Department of Sports focus. I have four broad areas that we are going to focus on, Madam Speaker. One, expanding participation in sports. And Madam Speaker, not so long ago I said that the participation in sports in St. Lucia is dwindling and that we need to revitalize sport participation in this country, and the former Minister of Sports took offense to that statement. But you know, that was not a statement designed to bring down anyone. That was not a statement meant to discredit anybody. That was merely a statement of fact. Talk to any sports person around the island, or you, Madam Speaker, drive around the island and take a look at what is happening at our playing fields around the island. Madam Speaker, another area of focus will be the development of elite sports. Now, not many of us who participate in sports will become world champions, national athletes, Olympic athletes, and so on. But there are some among us who are talented that we must encourage and give full support in ensuring that they fulfill their full potential. Madam Speaker, facility establishment and maintenance. A sore point for all governments, and Madam Speaker, on the completion after the passage of this budget, Madam Speaker, I anticipate that the doors of the Department of Sports will receive a severe banging from members seated around this table here, Madam Speaker, requesting improvement for their sporting facilities and establishment of new sporting facilities.
Right.
Madam Speaker, I'm pleased to inform members that provision has been made to address their needs. The Sports for All program, Madam Speaker, is another program that will be expanded because there is need for expansion of that program, Madam Speaker. We are going to take this program to the community level and have the community participate in healthy lifestyle activities. Madam Speaker, only Sunday, on my way from Soleil Levea Pigeon Point, Madam Speaker, I was very heartened to see that the SDA Church, with its membership on the beach exercising, Madam Speaker, we want to encourage that kind of activity. We want to encourage that kind of undertaking on the part of our people, Madam Speaker. And you wonder why I'm saying so, Madam Speaker? Madam Speaker, a mere 2 weeks ago or less, we received the results of the national screening program, Madam Speaker. Again, the results were frightening. I'm afraid, Madam Speaker, that very soon people will be discouraged conducting research in this country, you know, Madam Speaker, because it seems that every report that comes out of any research that is done is alarming. But, Madam Speaker, let us hold hope, because these programs that are being articulated here, Madam Speaker, they are all intended, Madam Speaker. When the evaluation is done and the reviews are brought in to this Honorable House, by next budget debate, we'll begin to see an alleviation of the frightening situations that confront us. Madam Speaker, the results of the National Screening Program. A survey conducted by Dr. Michael Graven of the Dalhousie University indicated that in St. Lucia, there is a very high incidence of diabetes and hypertension. I think in the case of diabetes, there are over 30% of our population afflicted with that disease, and over 25 to 40% afflicted with hypertension. Madam Speaker, this is frightening. Madam Speaker, that can threaten the productivity of this country. It can threaten the family life in this country. It can threaten the existence of our communities in this country, Madam Speaker. If nothing is done right now, right away, Madam Speaker, I'm afraid we are heading to doom. Madam Speaker, hypertension and diabetes are purely preventable and controllable diseases. Madam Speaker, these are, in many cases, lifestyle diseases. In the case of diabetes, it may be inherited, but for the most part, it is a lifestyle disease. Also, while you may be predisposed through genetics to those diseases, they are totally preventable and controllable. And so we will put measures in place, Madam Speaker, as the Department of Youth and Sports, as part of our health and fitness program, we will put measures in place to ensure that we do something in reducing the incidence of those diseases. Madam Speaker, the prediction coming out of the survey is that in 4 years' time, this frightening number can be doubled. That is as far as diabetes is concerned. And in the case of hypertension, in 5 years' time, the number, the 40% or so that are already suffering diabetes, can be doubled. So in other words, our entire society, Madam Speaker, will be at risk from those diseases. Now let me just mention the complications of those diseases, Madam Speaker, because you may be wondering, why do I take so much of my limited time, Madam Speaker, to dwell on this matter. Madam Speaker, this is not the first time I have been expressing concern about those issues. Madam Speaker, those who followed my election campaign will tell you that I've always expressed concerns about this situation. Madam Speaker, I went to the Ministry of Health and my information was that the number one killer of St. Lucians is diabetes, number two, hypertension, number three, cardiovascular diseases, number four was, I think it was cancer. Madam Speaker, all lifestyle diseases. That told me, Madam Speaker, that we needed to take stock. We needed to take stock of the way we live in this country, Madam Speaker, and to do something about improving our health. Madam Speaker, again I call on members of this Honorable House to set an example. As Minister of Sport, I have no hesitation in leading by example. Madam Speaker, I am aware that the Minister of Sport has already begun doing something and to lead by example. Madam Speaker, I do not want to put the Honorable Prime Minister on the spot, but Madam Speaker, I believe we have to accentuate the positives when they are positive. Just as I talk about the doom and gloom, sometimes you have to accentuate the positives. Madam Speaker, we saw a demonstration that frightened all the younger members in this House on Thursday, Madam Speaker, when the Prime Minister, in all his fervor and vigor, delivered a 4.5 address to this House of Assembly. Madam Speaker, that takes stamina. That takes vitality, Madam Speaker. That takes concentration power, Madam Speaker. That takes a high level of physical fitness. Now, people associate physical fitness with sporting prowess, Madam Speaker. Physical fitness goes to the heart of many of our lives on the table. It has to do with concentration. It has to do with sexual performance. And I know our men will be interested in that one, Madam Speaker. It has to do with a lot, longevity, how good you look, Madam Speaker, you know, how you feel, your psyche, Madam Speaker, your stress level, all of this is influenced by your level of physical fitness. And I dare say, Madam Speaker, I want to compliment the Honorable Prime Minister, a man of his age, to be looking so good, feeling so strong, and being able to perform at the level that he can. Madam Speaker, that is something that the rest of us can aim at, Madam Speaker. Now, I am not about to tell you, Madam Speaker, that I know of any sporting engagement on the part of the Prime Minister. But, Madam Speaker, the secret is physical activity. Madam Speaker, I happen to know, and without disclosing the honourable members' personal affairs, Madam Speaker, I'm sure he will not take umbrage to the fact if I say that he is on his farm every week, Madam Speaker, performing physical chores, Madam Speaker. And so, Madam Speaker, at the end of the day, it is not necessary, if you don't like sports, Madam Speaker, the idea is being physically active. And this is something we have to embark upon. Honorable Member for Beaufort South, I invite you as leader of the opposition to join in setting the example, because I remember an address that you made some time ago where you indicated the need for exactly what I'm calling for here, Madam Speaker. I continue to say, the best sermon is a good example. Let us lead by example. Let us make a pledge to cut compounds. Let's lighten up this house, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the complications of those diseases, Madam Speaker, are heart attack, stroke, renal failure, and in cases, both of those diseases could lead to serious disabilities and even premature death. Now, Madam Speaker, we see victims of stroke. That is debilitating, Madam Speaker. You can have a person of my age, Madam Speaker, who expects to be around for the next 50 years, Madam Speaker, and who expects to be productive for the full 50 years that I have left, Madam Speaker. That's an assumption on my part, Madam Speaker. If I become afflicted with the disease hypertension, I can suffer a stroke, Madam Speaker, and very soon become dependent on my family rather than being a provider for my family. Madam Speaker, that in itself changes the circumstances of my family, Madam Speaker, and will have an impact and an effect on our health bill as a nation, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I will elaborate on those much more, Madam Speaker. I'm mindful of the passing time. Concerns, Madam Speaker, why the concern? It was said in the report, Madam Speaker, that we are among the highest in the world as far as incidence of those diseases. And Madam Speaker, I'm also concerned that those diseases will dominate our healthcare system, Madam Speaker. Requiring and healthcare is very expensive, Madam Speaker. And so what is our ministry's role in addressing that situation? I do not merely come here and point out problems that we face without offering solutions, Madam Speaker. I want to be part of the solution, Madam Speaker. And my ministry will play a role in the solution. Community education and awareness campaign, Madam Speaker. And again, I invite members here because I know, Madam Speaker, they are very tenacious when it comes to campaigns, Madam Speaker. And when they put their minds to it, Madam Speaker, whether you want to know or not, they reach you and they get their message across to you, Madam Speaker. Let us utilize those skills in a campaign to educate people about those diseases, Madam Speaker.
Honorable Minister, you have 10 more minutes within which to complete your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We will embark upon a community-wide health and fitness program, Madam Speaker. And in the execution of that program, Madam Speaker, my ministry will be busy in the next 5 years establishing recreational parks and, of course, setting up community gyms, Madam Speaker. Innovations that will go a long way in facilitating our community in becoming more active, Madam Speaker. The idea, Madam Speaker, is to get St. Lucia on the move. We have to make a move, Madam Speaker, or else, Madam Speaker, we are facing doom as far as our health circumstances are concerned. Not to mention, Madam Speaker, there are many other diseases that threaten our youth and our nation as a whole, such as HIV and AIDS, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let me just take a quick look at our spot allocation. Less members around this table from the other 16 constituencies become overzealous, overambitious in their request, Madam Speaker. Let me indicate that there is a limit, Madam Speaker, as far as the funds that are allocated, and let me indicate to you how the funds will be allocated. Now, do not expect me to point out projects for various constituencies. I'll give broad headings as to how the funds will be spent. Madam Speaker, I have a total of $2.4 million allocated. $1.3 million will be spent for the strengthening of sports organizations. Again, Madam Speaker, the emphasis here is to get our young people into organized groups, sports clubs, and what have you, to ensure that they are in a setting where they can be guided and molded, Madam Speaker, to ensure that all the deviant behaviors and the antisocial behaviors are eradicated, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, having them in such a controlled setting will provide us with the opportunity, since they are already in a captive setting, provide us the opportunity to implement our various training programs and other life skills programs that we have in stock for them, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we have $260,000 for school sports and physical education. And never mind, Madam Speaker, that now youth and sports is no longer with the Ministry of Education. I will be working collaboratively with my colleague, the member for Meku South, Madam Speaker, who is the Minister of Education, in ensuring that we play a role, Madam Speaker, in developing sports at the school level. Because needless to say, Madam Speaker, I think every member here is aware it is very important to start as early as possible, and we are going to ensure that we start at the school level. $500,000, Madam Speaker, for national talent. Now, what do I mean by that, Madam Speaker? I have already alluded to the fact that one of our broad areas is elite sports. Now, we will have from time to time an outstanding athlete developing among us. Do we just sit by and hope that he reaches the highest levels? Talent alone is not sufficient in today's modern international sports, Madam Speaker. You require far more than mere talent. And so we are going to provide the infrastructure and other necessary support mechanisms to ensure that our young people fulfill their full potential. So, Madam Speaker, $500,000 for national talent, and people like Darren Sammy and Laverne Spencer and the likes, Madam Speaker, can benefit tremendously from this allocation here, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we have $130,000 for national sports awards and recognition. Now, Madam Speaker, in St. Lucia, we don't have professional sports. People engage in sports as a pastime for most of the time. Some take it seriously, but it is amateur sport that we practice in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, there must be some incentive to encourage our young people to continue to participate in sports and to experience the fulfillment from their participation in sports. And so we're going to award and reward those who are outstanding, encourage those who participate and perform on a high level, and at the same time, Madam Speaker, provide recognition for their accomplishments. Now, what do I mean by this? For example, Madam Speaker, I'll just give you one example. It is a plan that has already been discussed, that we have some athletes who just came from the Paris Games, Madam Speaker, who were very successful, came back to St. Lucia with gold medals, so much so that out of over 20 countries, Madam Speaker, St. Lucia placed sixth among countries like Jamaica and the likes, Madam Speaker. These athletes go out as ambassadors and represent us, Madam Speaker, making us proud. In return, the least we can do is provide them some recognition. And so, Madam Speaker, just as we the politicians are proud to put up our posters and our billboards, Madam Speaker, some of us, I don't know if we deserve the recognition that we get. Madam Speaker, these people are truly deserving of the recognition that we have to give to them. And so you may, along your way, Madam Speaker, sometime in the near future, see billboards of those local heroes, Madam Speaker, being displayed, letting the nation know who they are and telling our people that we appreciate them, Madam Speaker. That is what this allocation will be used for, Madam Speaker. $140,000 for a recreation and healthy lifestyle. I just articulated, Madam Speaker, the need for engagement in healthy lifestyle programs, Madam Speaker. And of course, while much of this program does not require funding, all it requires is commitment on our part, Madam Speaker, and dedication. There, of course, in some cases, equipment, facilities have to be provided, and so this allocation will go a long way in doing so. Madam Speaker, I quickly want to mention a contentious issue, a matter that some people want to create contention with, but in the sports world, Madam Speaker, as a true sportsman, I know what it is, Madam Speaker, to resolve conflict, Madam Speaker. And, you know, in the words of, again, the Honorable Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, at the time when I first entered politics, Madam Speaker, I thought that I might, you know, get a word of advice from one of the most successful politicians in the history of St. Lucian politics, Madam Speaker. I went to have a talk with Sir John, and I recall quite vividly among the things that he said to me, Madam Speaker. He said to me that in politics, Madam Speaker, you have adversaries, not enemies. Madam Speaker, that stuck with me. And, you know, in the world of sports, likewise, Madam Speaker, you have adversaries, not enemies. And sports teaches you, Madam Speaker, that at the end of a game, win or lose, you shake hands and you move on. Madam Speaker, $1 million has been allocated for the gold project, Madam Speaker.
Well, remember, you have 3 more minutes with the list of completed presentation.
I'll do my best, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the gold project, Madam Speaker, has been, $1 million has been allocated for that project. Now, there's some controversy surrounding this project, Madam Speaker, but I assure you, Madam Speaker, I'm in consultation and collaboration with the Football Association, mindful of the fact, Madam Speaker, that the Football Association is an autonomous body, Madam Speaker, and, of course, the governing body, FIFA, is very, very skeptical about political interference. I assure you, Madam Speaker, there will be no political interference, but there will be government assistance to ensure that this project comes to fruition for the benefit of the sports people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, again, I will elaborate far more as time goes on. Sports facilities, Madam Speaker, I just quickly indicate to members, because I know that is one of the areas that I'll be harassed about, Madam Speaker, in the coming days. $3.3 million for establishment and upgrading of playing fields, Madam Speaker. So do not come asking me for a stadium. Members, we only have $3.3 million, and I cannot allocate all of this to one constituency. $300,000 for sports equipment. Madam Speaker, there again, I go back to the poverty assessment report. Madam Speaker, if we have so many of our young people living in poverty, they will not be able to afford the equipment that is required to participate in sports. So here, government will have to step in, Madam Speaker. Not necessarily give equipment to individuals, but provide for clubs, the clubs that we will be setting up, Madam Speaker, provide equipment for them to facilitate the participation of sports, even among our poor people, our poorer people, Madam Speaker. $1.8 million for upgrading of courts, Madam Speaker. That is self-explanatory. $400,000 for the national sports facilities. And let me just say a word about the national sports facilities, Madam Speaker. Among them is the George Odlum Stadium, Madam Speaker, the renamed George Odlum Stadium. And let me just take a moment to say this, Madam Speaker. I've been accused of saying that the George Odlum Stadium is a white elephant. Well, I'm pleased to announce that it will no longer be a white elephant, because now, Madam Speaker, under my leadership, we have a ministry that understands the youth, the potential investment qualities of that facility, and we'll put it to use through sports tourism and other local sports programs. Madam Speaker, let me just thank the Chinese for this gift, a gift that St. Lucian should be grateful for. And Madam Speaker, in the coming days, we will ensure that we upgrade the track to ensure that it is certified by the IAAF, soon as we can hold international competitions right here, beginning with the hosting of the 2009 Character Games, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I think I have to say, because the significant amount, while I decided I was not going to mention individual constituencies, but the member for Supra will be pleased to note that I have $265,000 allocated for the grandstand at the Supra Stadium. Madam Speaker, it is a project that will cost $3.2 million, but as we go along, I assure you, sir, that your facility will be provided for and it will be brought to completion as soon as possible. A total of $6.1 million, Madam Speaker, for sports facilities and equipment, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let me quickly talk about some of the new exciting initiatives of my ministry.
Honorable Minister, you have exceeded your time, so you will need to be winding down unless the House is gracious to you.
Madam Speaker, I beg your indulgence to suspend Standing Order number 3210 to allow the Honorable Member to complete his presentation in 10 minutes.
Honorable Members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be suspended to allow the Minister for Social Transformation an additional 10 minutes within which to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as are of the opinion say aye. As many as are of the contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to note, Madam Speaker, that social transformation has already begun in this House of Assembly, Madam Speaker. And, you know, I would like to see that this spirit is upheld, Madam Speaker. In any case, Madam Speaker, I'm sure that many members here recognize the validity and importance of the programs being outlined here, Madam Speaker, and where it will go a long way in serving their own constituents in the various constituencies around this country, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, new initiatives, new exciting initiatives that will be undertaken by my ministry in the coming year, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I'm pleased to announce that we are going to embark upon what we call a national mentorship program. Madam Speaker, this program is designed to ensure that we provide a form of a safety net for children who are at risk, children who do not have parental care and guidance, who do not have the ideal home situation or family network to ensure that they do not go astray, Madam Speaker. And again, this will be fueled through volunteerism, Madam Speaker. And if there is anyone in this Honorable House who wishes to use their elevated status as members of this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, to serve as a mentor in this mentorship program, you are very welcome to register with my ministry, and we will ensure that we put you in the program. You will be trained, Madam Speaker. You will undergo a program of training, Madam Speaker, to ensure that the mentor-mentee relationship is a rewarding and fulfilling one for especially the mentee, and that we save some of our youth, Madam Speaker, through our own individual intervention at the community level, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, development of recreational facilities, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, in the coming year you will realize through the NCA a number of beach parks will be established in this country, Madam Speaker. Parks and the associated services and amenities will be put in place to ensure that St. Lucians can get a place to go and recreate, so families can go and relax, Madam Speaker, and interact, a place where as a civilized society we can go and do what I refer to as distressing, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, community gyms I have already alluded to. That will be something, a new feature on the community landscape, Madam Speaker. We'll provide community gyms so that people in the gym, as we came back on the effort to get St. Lucia moving, the facilities will be in place to facilitate that. Madam Speaker, another program that I'm very excited about and I'm very pleased to announce is the lighting of playing field program, Madam Speaker. We are going to light up our playing fields, Madam Speaker, to ensure that we extend the playing hours for our young people, so that at night, Madam Speaker, after 6 o'clock, they do not go to the block or what have you. They can be engaged in meaningful activity on our playing field, Madam Speaker. I've already spoken of the recognition and incentive program for sportspersons, Madam Speaker, and I just want to take this opportunity, Madam Speaker, to make a quick announcement, Madam Speaker. We, our premier cricketer, Madam Speaker, Mr. Darren Sammy. Currently, I was told, Madam Speaker, that he works at the Ministry of Commerce, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this is a young man who is a trained coach. He's a level 2 cricket coach, Madam Speaker. And at the same time, Madam Speaker, he's an outstanding young cricketer who is the first St. Lucian to have made the West Indies team, Madam Speaker. There's much value in a youngster like Darren Sammy, Madam Speaker, in terms of using him, Madam Speaker, as a mentor to other youth, Madam Speaker. His net interaction can serve as inspiration for our young people, Madam Speaker. And so, Madam Speaker, I'm pleased to announce that Darren Sammy will be getting a transfer, Madam Speaker, from the Ministry of Commerce to the Ministry of Sport, where he can better utilize his expertise, Madam Speaker, for the benefit of our youth in St. Lucia, and it will always also redound to his personal benefit, Madam Speaker. Because you know, as Minister, Darren will have absolutely no problem to get time off to facilitate his training and his travels as a professional cricketer, Madam Speaker. Not that I'm saying he has any problems at Commerce, Madam Speaker, but I just think that we have to utilize the limited resources that we have. And so that move, I'm pleased to announce that move will be made, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, my constituency. Madam Speaker, I will not spend much time on my constituency, Madam Speaker. I will not come here with a litany of requests and complaints and asking the minister of this and minister of that. Madam Speaker, I will go to their offices and make my demands, Madam Speaker. If it means offending the ministers to please my constituents, Madam Speaker, I ensure you that I will do so, Madam Speaker. I am about delivering. One of my campaign slogans, Madam Speaker, was results-oriented representation, and that is what I intend to deliver, Madam Speaker. And so there's no need to talk about this road and that road. However, I just want to say that there are two major roads that will be looked at. The Gatikwi, Nobert, bypass road, Madam Speaker, and that is a road that will benefit everyone coming from the north to escape traffic. And there is another road by Key Largo to Lafayette, Madam Speaker, another bypass road we will look at. And of course, I assure my constituents that all roads will be given attention to the best of my ability, as much as I can get, Madam Speaker. I ask that patience, that they be patient, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, another request that I get quite a lot from constituents is the request for speed bumps, Madam Speaker. And I found it a little strange that people are complaining that our drivers are speeding through residential areas and so on. Now, Madam Speaker, I think there's a simple solution to this problem. Madam Speaker, again, social transformation. If we change our attitude and our thinking, Madam Speaker, I think that matter can be resolved without the expenditure of 1 cent. I am making here an appeal, Madam Speaker, to our drivers, Madam Speaker, adhere to the traffic rules, Madam Speaker. If you are going through a residential area, simply, you know, slow down and drive more cautiously so that there will not be need for setting up of a speed bump because of the indiscipline of drivers, Madam Speaker. And so I just want to say to residents that they can be patient, that the promises made will be delivered, Madam Speaker, and in case there is any doubt, I ask them to take a hint from what has happened thus far in the mere 4 months that I have served as district representative for Grosse Ile, Madam Speaker. The pace will be increased, Madam Speaker, and I will be pursuing the implementation of my projects and programs with more fervor than I have been doing in the last 4 months, Madam Speaker. And there's a lot that has happened in Grosse Ile. The people of Grosse Ile are aware. There's no need to expound, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I rather take this opportunity to thank the people of Grosse Ile, Madam Speaker, for my mere presence here, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, you will wonder, or you may want to say to me that I have in the past, on at least 2 occasions, taken the opportunity in this Honorable House to thank them. But Madam Speaker, given my circumstances, Madam Speaker, no thanks will be too much, Madam Speaker, for the people of Grosse Ile. After all, Madam Speaker, I sit in this Honorable House on a solid chair, Madam Speaker. I come here, Madam Speaker, with the greatest number of votes among any member in this Honorable House. I received over 5,000 votes in the last general election, Madam Speaker. That requires a lot of thanks, Madam Speaker. And so I will never finish thanking those people, Madam Speaker. I'll never be tired of saying thanks to them, Madam Speaker. I'll continue to thank them, and I'll further thank them and justify the confidence in me, Madam Speaker, by the delivery of the projects and programs that I have promised in my campaign, and by transforming the constituency of Grove Hill, Madam Speaker, to a town that we can truly be proud of, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, you know, again, I just wanted to say, Madam Speaker, there are some critical programs that have to be looked at, and I just want to remind the people of Labuan, Madam Speaker. Now, this here is not politics, Madam Speaker. The people of Labuan suffer a critical problem, Madam Speaker. There is no pipeline water in Labuan, Madam Speaker. This has to be addressed, and I want them to know that I'm working feverishly on this project to ensure that pipeline water comes to Labuan within the course of this financial year, Madam Speaker. I know of what I speak, Madam Speaker. I do not make revelations that I cannot substantiate or back up, Madam Speaker.
Honourable Minister, your time is up.
Okay, so let me just round up, Madam Speaker, and say that, Madam Speaker, I am here, Madam Speaker, to give impetus to the program of the Ministry of Social Transformation. I am here to give hope to the hopeless, Madam Speaker. Make no mistake, Madam Speaker, I am here by virtue of no wealth, Madam Speaker. I am not here by virtue of my degrees, Madam Speaker. I am not here by virtue of pedigree, Madam Speaker. What has brought me here, Madam Speaker, is my conviction, my commitment to the people of Grove Hill, and the virtues that they see in me, Madam Speaker. And so I am one who believes that when in life's journey, Madam Speaker, you come across hurdles, that is an opportune moment, Madam Speaker, to take an upward and forward leap, Madam Speaker. And so, Madam Speaker, I invite the rest of St. Lucia to join me in the spirit of this philosophy as we conquer the demons and we overcome the challenges that we face, Madam Speaker, and we move forward to a prosperous year, Madam Speaker. I thank you, Madam Speaker, and honorable members for allowing me the opportunity to address you, and I just want to end by saying that I fully support the appropriation bills 2007-2008 that will form the basis for all the programs that I have outlined. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker.